I'm Brittany Gallagher, reporting to you on digital culture for Digital Village. I love games, from board to video to competitive to cooperative. My guest this week is friend of the show, Brent Bushnell, CEO and co-founder of 2-Bit Circus. When we spoke to him last, he was launching the STEAM, Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math, carnivals in Los Angeles, NSF. But now he's doing something a bit more permanent in the center of Los Angeles. 2-Bit Circus, a micro amusement park. There's classic carnival games, story rooms, a VR arena, pinball, group games, and so much more. We talk about what a micro amusement park is, how they are not a VR arcade, and group gameplay. But first, we start with the origin of 2-Bit Circus.
So 2-Bit Circus is a big band of nerds in downtown LA. We've been working together for years. It started with my co-founder and I in 2008, just collaborating, making interactive art that we could take to parties. And people liked it, so we kept making more stuff. And brands started calling, and all of a sudden we were doing huge branded events. And then finally said, gosh, you know, we're setting up all these events for everybody else. Like, what if we do our own event? And so at the same time, we'd had a lot of parents and teachers saying that they thought that the stuff we were doing was exciting for kids. And, you know, the fact that we were all a bunch of STEM nerds, we felt like we had a special opportunity to get kids excited about science and engineering. So we launched a big traveling carnival. And in the early days, there was STEM. This was, you know, sort of 2012 timeframe. And one person at RISD was talking about STEAM. And so we got really excited about that and launched STEAM Carnival on Kickstarter. Ended up doing a huge one in LA and then in San Francisco. 120,000 square feet, 5,000 people a day. One half all of our high-tech entertainment and one half a bunch of hands-on projects for kids to learn about programming and fabrication and electronics and creativity. And at the end of San Francisco, we were like, gosh, you know, like on the one hand, like people really liked that and it was super fun. And on the other hand, like we want to die. You know, we set all this stuff up for a weekend. You know, do we need to have our heads examined? So we came back and said, gosh, there's all these other trends, right? There's this glut of retail space and maybe it's time to go permanent. And so the end of 2015, we started thinking about a permanent site and looking around and came up with a whole plan and went out and raised money for it. And we are now literally weeks away from opening the doors to our first, what we call a micro amusement park.
So let's talk about the micro amusement park. So it's split up into different sections, and I guess we'll go through them each individually. So you have the Midway. What's the Midway? What do you expect to see there?
So we picked the term micro amusement park because we wanted to really set the expectation that there were different zones. And the Carnival Midway is all about social stuff. We took a lot of those classic Midway mechanics, tossing and rolling and swinging, and then modified them with modern tech. So we've got computer vision and projectors and all kinds of stuff like that. So the games are social. They're 4, 5, 6 people. But then, you know, you're still doing some of those classic mechanics. So one of my favorites is called the Big Top Balloon Pop. And this we took... If you think about the classic one where you throw darts at the balloons, we smashed that together with Candy Crush. So using ball pit balls, you throw them at a projected wall of balloons. A camera tracks where you throw the ball, what the color is. And so if you throw a red ball at a yellow balloon, it turns red. You throw a blue ball at a green balloon, it turns blue. And what you're trying to do is get 3 balloons in a row to be the same color, and then they pop and go away. And you're just racing to try to do that as much as possible.
And do you still have something like skee ball in there?
You know, I freaking am obsessed with skee ball. I love it.
Me too. That's why I ask.
Yeah, we had to put a skee ball in because it was just, you know, well, we made a lot of the stuff. This place is a big platform. We've got lots of other partner stuff in there. And skee ball was just a no-brainer. So we got 3 skee ball lanes. And my goal this year is I'm going to break 400, you know, come hell or high water.
What sort of art pieces do you have?
Yeah, so we've got art all over the park. And what we call them trinkets. And the idea is, you know, so we've got a lot of different kinds of games. And, you know, games have a beginning, middle, and end. But we've also got trinkets, which are just fun little interactions, maybe fun moments to take a photo. We've got this one photo booth, partner of ours, Dan Dowding, made from the Brewery Arts Lofts. And you sit on what are basically old theater seats. And in front of you are these hanging televisions. And what happens is with cameras pointed at your face, it basically looks like you have a TV for a head, and the camera replicates your face on the television. So it's a ton of fun. You're sitting there, you know, looking ridiculous on an old CRT monitor.
One thing I thought was super cool was the almost immersive theater vibe that you get, all the hidden stuff. There's a whole show almost underneath the show that's there that you're on a quest to find?
So there's no Pantages for immersive theater, right? There's a lot of immersive theater happens at random site-specific places ranging from old mortuaries to the streets of LA. And we really felt like there was a lot of great shows out there that could use a place to be able to either be remounted or crafted from the beginning. So we've got a lot of secret stuff all over the park, secret doors, secret cubbies, secret hallways, and then a bunch of ways in which theater can be remounted and ways to discover that stuff.
That's really exciting. So the next big part are the story rooms, a broader take on the escape room theme. Can you talk a little bit about those?
We started making what are now called escape rooms in 2010. At the time, escape rooms didn't exist, and we just wanted a live-action adventure where you're the character and you're having to do all sorts of different stuff that uses, you know, your whole body. And so we were making those, and nobody knew what we were talking about. They were like, huh? You mean like an iPhone app? And we were like, no, it's a physical thing that you go to. But we've always felt like the current state of escape rooms are basically a subset of this much bigger category we call story rooms. And the idea is, what happens if the story is not about escaping the room and you want to do something for Barbie or NASCAR or physics or what ended up in our park? We have, you can float down a haunted river and you can pilot a spaceship. So we have a bunch of those in there, and they are, they're a little longer than those carnival games, 10, 15 minutes, maybe even 45, but they're all multiplayer. A few of them are multi-role, where it is actually a different experience. In one we call Space Squad in Space, there's a captain, a pilot, a navigator, a gunner. We're all on the bridge of a starship, and we're all having to collaborate to make sure we don't crash into a planet. And it's literally unplayable with just three people. I die every time. Well, and there's two things about this. Is as a multi-role thing, you really can come back, and it's a different experience playing as the captain or the navigator. And it also, as a big platform, allows us to do episodic stuff. So you could play episode one, where you're figuring out how to turn on the ship and pilot it around and navigate through the starfield. And then episode two, right, we're looking for a planet and we're going to go explore that planet. And being able to run different kinds of content allows for this, it really to sort of level up like a traditional video game rather than escape rooms, where oftentimes kind of one and done, you don't need to go back.
So for the VR arena that you have, could you talk about that? Because some of the challenges with VR is obviously the number of people that can do it at once, the space it takes to do movement VR, and how you guys are solving for that.
All true. Well, so I'll start by saying we are not, capital N, not a VR arcade. We love VR. It's super exciting. But part of why, but it's 20% of our offering, and that is very much by design. You nailed it, right? VR is low throughput. It's got high operational overhead, right? I need a staff member there to fit you with a headset and clean it after you're done. And it's very unlike things that are much more scalable. You can just leave an arcade game and you don't need a staff member there for every person who plays. So, but on the flip side, VR is exciting, right? It's freaking awesome. There's so much great content out there now. It's really magical, some of the free roam stuff that you can do. And so while we have some of it, we've augmented the rest of the offering with other stuff so that you can go there and do VR and be part of that excitement. But also, while you're waiting for your turn on VR, you can be playing other stuff. We really want to make sure you can have a packed entertainment experience in 2 or 3 hours. And, I also feel like our place as a showcase, as a platform, as a rotating gallery, VR is hot now and it won't always be. If we were to call this VR circus, it's going to look like VHS land in a few years.
Right, absolutely. So
this is really about being able to be a showcase for lots of different kinds of entertainment so that when AR comes online, we can have that. And then after it, when it's direct neuron interface, we'll be ready.
Yeah, you can constantly just change out that section to whatever it should be. Let's talk about the new take on the arcade, because one of the things that I found, which is super simple but really fun, was air hockey, but with four people.
Oh, man.
It's real intense.
We found from a partner, and it's an incredible, there's a person on every side of a square, and totally frenetic. So we've got that. We've got a couple of other classics like Pac-Man and the original Battle Zone, that one specifically because we also now have a VR version of Battle Zone from Rebellion. So we kind of got bookends of like where that started and where it is now. And then we got a bunch of our own cabinets. We have a 6-player tabletop game. We have what we call Skidoo, which is sort of our version of pinball and shuffleboard and whatnot. But every one of ours are a platform. And very much this park, kind of as the movie theater for interactive, whether it's us making content or partnering with third parties, we look at this as a way for games to get to market. And across the whole game industry, whether you're talking about touchscreen games or console games or board games, you know, it's hard to find audience. And it's even worse if you're in VR because there's not that many headsets. You know, and so we built this park, its own SDK and its own API, so that as game developers have content, they can publish it on our platform. And one of the things that's special about Public is for a home game, you need like 100 hours of play, right? Those console games are so expensive to make because they're so deep and rich and broad, and you know, there's so much going on. In Public, I need 5 minutes, maybe 10. And so what we can do is work with those groups to say, hey, give us a slice of your game, right? Give us abridged level one, and we'll give you a new revenue stream and a big ad. And so for whether it's the arcade or our VR arena, we've got a platform for game developers to be able to publish their stuff. And then, you know, because people are paying as they go, we can then split the revenue with the developer.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And you still have some pinball machines, so I suspect those are going to give you the most trouble of anything there in working.
Yeah, they're nothing like mechanical things. Everything that physically moves, we want wants to break.
The last big part is Club 01, and that is like something I have never seen before. So it's, I'll let you describe it, but group gameplay.
Yeah, this is our 100-seat interactive theater. And the idea here is touchscreens on every table, facing a big stage, a big projector on the wall. And this is a platform for all kinds of live entertainment. So imagine game shows, right? We're playing a big trivia game, and you and me and our 98 friends are all competing. And then we pull you up on stage, and you're competing against Amber. And then the two of you go down, and then I go up on stage. And we're able to do live competition in real time. And then, you know, with the host guiding everybody, but then also change from game show to we have a full-blown wine tasting game where you get four glasses of wine and you got the wine there on your table and you're learning about the difference between a cab and a pinot, and then you know you're challenged against everybody else in the room for how well you can identify the various flavors, and then ridiculously we all work together Mad Lib style to make a snooty wine label
naturally.
So it's a very, and then we have 100-person escape game style thing we've done with Scrap. This thing is a big platform. You know, I think of it almost like TEDx for live television.
Yeah, it was really cool because each person is sitting there and they have their own screen. So if you're doing trivia, you're trying to answer questions as fast as possible. And then, you know, and you're automatically assigned teams based on color. It was a really, really cool way of bringing a large group of people together. And there's so much that you could do with it. Like, this is only the beginning. It's fascinating.
You know, we're launching with tiny slice of shows, but we have so many in development. Like, it's the room I'm the most excited about.
Yeah, I think it's something that is clearly something no one's done before. So this is obviously for people of all ages, but there is something that's for a little bit of an older crowd, and it's the amazing robot bartender.
Well, you know, so we had a lot of fun, right? We love robots. We've made a lot of robots over the years. And, you know, we've got a full restaurant, a full bar, right? The hardest liquor license to get, which is, you know, liquor and kids, which, fun fact, the only way you can do that is if you're, you know, less than half of your revenue comes from alcohol. So, and you have to serve a hot meal. So interesting. So we've got that robot bartender who we call Guillermo del Poro. but it's a show basically between the bartender and the robot. The human and the robot work together to make your drink. Interestingly enough, the ABC requires that a human be the one that hands you the drink. So even though the robot is doing all the work, the humans are still important.
For now. Let's talk about the platform side of this. What and who are you looking for to help?
I really want to invite immersive theater creators, game makers to reach out. We'd love to connect new forms of content. We're always looking for cool experiences to showcase at the park. We have a whole beta audience, which is basically a group who is open to trying new stuff. And so, you know, on off nights, a Monday and a Tuesday, we'll run beta nights with new potential stuff that we're going to put in the park. And then the best things graduate to primetime. So we're always looking for more beta users. We're always looking for more great, you know, developers and content creators. We're getting ready to open a micro amusement park in the middle of the Arts District of downtown LA. It's a 50,000 square foot entertainment complex with a VR arena, a 100-seat interactive theater, a carnival midway, full restaurant and bar, you know, a robot bartender, and you know, a ton of other craziness. You know, it's been, depending on when you index, either 3 years or 10 years in the making. We can't wait to show you.
My guest this week was Brent Bushnell, CEO, co-founder, and roustabout at 2-Bit Circus. Their micro amusement park opens in September in downtown LA, where you can escape reality in a story room, or maybe VR, play classics like pinball and skee ball, or four-way air hockey, be served by Guillermo del Toro, and play a game with 100 of your closest friends. If you're interested in playing or creating, you can find out more at their website at 2BitCircus, that's TWOBitCircus.com. That's it for this week's edition of Digital Culture. I'm Brittany Gallagher. You can find out more on our website at digitalculture.la. Follow us on Twitter at DigCultureLA or follow me on Twitter at In a Quantum World.